Wendell. I'm living love by God and recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food, work, and control. I've had issues with pornography and alcohol and rage and depression and panic. I came here needing to be loved tonight. We're hurting.
And my wife's hurting. I don't know where she is, but it's okay. Don't go. If she wants to be alone, don't bother. Take it from me. I've been married to her for 30 years. She wants to be alone. That's what she wants to be. Okay. But I don't know. We can edit this podcast, I guess. Her parents grew up thinking that God hated them. Both of them did. And thinking, scared to death, they were going to go to hell. And I mean scared to death, especially her father. And her mom made it a year ago. And the only thing I could think was, can you imagine the look on her face? Expecting to get punished, expecting to be judged, expecting all kinds of harshness, and having God just, come here, and just engulfing her in this huge hug. And her dad was even more that way. And when I got the call, that it was actually our daughter who called me, Bethany from Woodbury, Tennessee. She called me. The first thing that hit me was, now he knows. Now he knows that he's loved, and he's feeling that embrace. So, you know, I don't know what's after this. I have no idea what happens. But if love from the love of God is so rich and full now, amidst all this chaos and craziness, what would it be on the other side? And I don't, maybe we just cease to exist, but I kind of don't think we do. What would love be on that side? So I'm sad, but I'm pretty tickled. Pretty tickled that two people I care something about are together and they're realizing they're loved. That's the most important thing. That's what changed my life. That's what's changing our lives, is knowing we're loved. So anyway, so I got a text this week from somebody I've been talking with off and on for 35 years. Did the math real quick, something like that. I've known them ever since they were little bitty. They're a college professor, you know, well-educated, thinky-type person. That's what you are, Thad. You're a thinky-type person. Now you know. You've wondered all this time. Now you know. You're a thinky-type person. But she's a thinky type person. She ponders and wonders, and she's always had trouble with the concept of pain, face to face, back and forth about pain. And this week she came out with a definitive statement that I just thought, this is awesome. I love her honesty. I love her getting right to the point. But she said, anybody who has the power and the love, in other words, the ability and the want to cure pain and doesn't, is how you really feel, you know. Don't beat around the bush. Tell me how you really feel about this. So it's really caused me to think this week. We're not going to come up with answers tonight. I know there are people here tonight who literally deal with chronic pain all the time, physical pain. Some deal with chronic emotional pain. We deal with pain all the time. And pain doesn't go away with a prayer. And pain doesn't go away with a hope or a wish. Pain doesn't even go away with medication, whatever medication you choose. Pain is just a part of life. And so we have to figure out how to live with it and how to understand it and how to, you know, the word that's used most of the time is how to cope with it. There are not many people who say, I want to be victorious over this pain. Most people, after chronic pain for a while, say, I just want to cope with it. I'm not asking for victory anymore. I'm asking just to cope with it, just to be able to survive and go on and be able to function in life. So this person I've talked with for years and years, they push it a little further. They push it to what my son, Jacob, they want a Nerf world. Everybody know what a Nerf world is? No sharp edges. Everything is soft. Gravity only works when it's to your advantage. Think about that one. If you're going to get hurt, it won't work anymore. It ceases to operate. You get that picture? And then Jake calls soft edge world, you know, where there's no chance of getting hurt at all. Everything has a soft edge, a soft landing, a pleasant, joyous ending to everything. You know, there's nothing ever has a bad ending to it. So when you take that idea to its conclusion, you push it to its conclusion, you realize, well, you know, you realize that gravity's a crapshoot. I mean, literally, it's a crapshoot. You get out of bed in the morning, you think, okay, is it the floor or the ceiling? I'm not sure which it is today, you know, because I was about to twist my ankle and God saw it. So he, what do I do now? You know, how do I get to the back? Comes here, I've really got to go and I'm stuck on the ceiling. And, you know, so gravity kind of becomes a crapshoot. That's just the physical world. If there are no rough edges and everything is a soft landing, then all the choices, even if we make horrid bad choices, always have good results. We make just the worst choices we could possibly make, and yet somehow God figures out how to make all of them have a very pleasant landing and a very pleasant outcome, and a positive, constructive outcome. Some people even whip out that old Romans, what is it, 8:28, all things work for good, you know. And that verse has been bent every which way but broken, trying to explain why bad things happen. I don't like what people do with that verse particularly. I don't think Paul meant any of that when he said what they do with it. But it's the idea that you can make all the bad choices you want with your free will, and God is always going to twist it around and make it come out okay. How's that working for you? I mean, the world you live in, what's the percentage on that happening? It doesn't. And really, when you stop and think about it, if God always brings about good consequences, even when we make bad choices, it kind of short-circuits free will. And in a sense, it kind of disrespects our humanity. You stop and think about that. He says, I gave you free will, but I don't respect your ability to use it. So I'm going to short-circuit it. I'm going to rearrange it. I don't really respect your right to be human and make choices. So I'm going to run around all the time. When you have a little bitty infant in a room full of china, you do kind of follow them around. You know, you take them into a gift shop and you don't just turn them loose. You kind of watch them because you know what they're going to do, you know. And so there is a responsibility on the part of the adult during certain stages of our life, but there comes a place where, I mean, if you've got living parents, do you want them to follow you around in the china shop? You know, that's, after a while, it disrespects your humanity. Wouldn't you feel a bit disrespected to have them trying to corral you and, you know, hey, I wanted to swing a ball bat in the china shop. You know, I just thought it'd be fun. Well, okay, you got a free shot. Nothing you swing at will be broken, you know. You got to look at the other side for a little while. This is going somewhere. We get to the punchline. I hate it, but Wayne thought of the punchline. I hate when that happens. But anyway, I got to give him credit for this. But we're not quite to the punchline yet. Think about the essentiality of pain to our existence. That we have to have pain, literally, to survive. Do you know what one of the problems of leprosy is? They lose feeling, so they pick up hot coals, and they, you know, they do all kinds of things that eventually just, leprosy does not take their fingers away. The disease doesn't do that. It's them picking up hot things, poison things, toxic things, playing with sharp objects and cutting their fingers off and not even knowing it because they can't feel it. They can't feel what they did, you know? I've gotten partway through my finger, and I realized you need to stop that. Don't pull the knife away. Don't, because pain told me you're doing something that is not good for your health. I've done that with flames, you know. It's not always easy to see the flame sometimes with a butane torch, and you're just working around, and all of a sudden it's like, got too close, you know. A leper wouldn't know that. Think about people who are quadriplegics or paraplegics, who they would give anything to be able to feel some pain. I would love to feel something, even if it's unpleasant. I would love to feel something in that extremity. Think about athletes who train. If you've ever been a long-distance runner or a weightlifter or anything like that, you count on your body telling you, okay, that's enough. It's the unpleasantness. It's the pain and the discomfort that tell you. You could just make a huge list with this. But pain is essential. It's a gift from God, literally, to help us know how to kind of, you know, don't do cartwheels in the china shop. It's probably not a good thing to do. But here's the other thing that I've realized, and I don't know if this is true with you, but it's certainly been true with me, is I can usually sail through life. I'm stealing something from Bill H. in the back. But he made a statement one time that I'll never forget. He said, I still laugh when I say it, how do you know if you're in denial? You let that question sink in. How do you know if you're in denial? I don't know. I mean, that's the definition of denial. I don't know if I'm in denial. There are several things that help me to know that. That way, if somebody tells me that, somebody loves me enough to say, you know, you got a big piece of broccoli stuck in your tooth. Now I know I got an issue I got to deal with. You know, you have a personality thing, you have a character, this or that. You know, somebody can tell you that. There are other ways you can find that out. But one primary way that you can find out some of your character issues is in the midst of pain. I mean, like, I don't know, 6-8 years ago, we came up with a statement here that said, you never know what's in a sponge until you squeeze it. It's sitting there on a plate, you know, nice and rectangular. Wonder what's in that sponge. You'll never know till you squeeze it, till you exert pressure on it. Then you see what comes out. And in my own existence, what I've discovered is that I begin to see what I'm really made of when I'm in pain. That's when the true me comes out. I don't like that. I'm not proud of that. But it's just the truth about me. It may not be about you. But in my experience, that's what I found. Is that when I'm put under pressure, when I'm under in some kind of stress or some kind of pain, I realize, oh, this is who I am. Or this is an issue inside me. I'm seeing enough heads going down that I maybe this is common to humanity. I don't know. There are larger questions about pain that I'm not even talking about tonight. You know why? Because I'm chicken. I don't have the answers to them. But I'm talking about every day what we would deal with. That's what I'm talking about. The larger issues I don't have answers to. But well, and maybe these aren't even answers. Maybe these are just things to think about. But they're true to me anyway. They're true in my existence. And by the looks of your body language, I'm not the only one in the room that this is true to. But here's the thing. When I got that text from my long-term friend, and I went to Wayne and just started talking to him about this, we said, let's do the On Grace podcast on this topic. So we got in there in JB's office and we did the On Grace. I don't know how many weeks it'll be till it's on iTunes. By the way, if you listen to On Grace on iTunes, please rate it. Because if you rate it, then that helps us on iTunes. I didn't realize that, but it does. So if you listen to it, rate us, please. Put that out of the podcast. No, we won't. We'll leave it on there. No, everybody will know now. So anyway, we started dealing with this in the podcast. And what's cool about the podcast is that we never really sit down and decide what we're going to say before we get in there. A lot of times we'll just start to talk and see where it goes. And so we started to talk about power, the power of God. If God is so powerful and so loving, why doesn't he eliminate pain? Why doesn't he come into our lives and control all those? And Wayne said, out of the blue, it blew me out of the water. His power. He said, God doesn't use his power to control. God uses his power to connect. And I thought, oh my gracious. Because when you look at the story that we have in Scripture, you look at the whole Jesus event, you look at your own life, I can think of the death of my first wife. I can think of other defining moments in my life when I needed a powerful God. I needed that. And God didn't come in with power to control or micromanage my life. Instead, God came in with power and said, I'm right here. I am with you. You are not alone. You are loved. You are embraced. You are cared for. I'm here. And if you'd have told me that when I was 15, 16 years old, I would say, well, okay, if that's all we get, I'll take that as a consolation prize. It's better than nothing. God with me, better than nothing. But the older I get, that's not the consolation prize. That's the grand prize. That's as good as, to me, in my heart, that's as good as it gets, to have God with me. And if he was a mean, vengeful, ugly God, then it probably wouldn't be so pleasant. But I think once I discovered that God loved me, it was like, God loves me. God is with me. That makes all the difference in the world. So God may be a jerk for not controlling all the little things in our life that we would like cleaned up and fixed up. Maybe he's a jerk for that. And if my friend wants to take that up with him someday, I'd say that she's taking it up with him right now. It's fine with me. But when it comes to being with me in my darkest hour, in all of his power, in all of his love, in all of who he is, it's pretty profound what that means inside of us. So we've probably raised more. My dad used to tell me all the time when I was preaching, he said, never stir up more rattlesnakes than you can handle. That was one of his good words of advice. Never stir up more snakes than you can handle. So I hope I didn't stir up too many snakes tonight. But I find great comfort in that idea, that God in his power doesn't choose to micromanage or control our lives. He chooses to connect with our lives. That's pretty cool. Even in a little red Ford Ranger pickup, he connects with me. That's all I got tonight. So it's all yours, Larry.
Going to have an opportunity to